Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Jeff Bezos.
Yep.
Is scheduled to lift off to the edge of space at around 9 a.m., 2 hours from now. He and three others will be flying aboard New Shepard.
The Fantastic Four, yes.
A capsule that looks like a giant peepee.
It does. It really does.
And its system was built by its company, Blue Origin. Bezos isn't sure how he'll feel when the mission is completed.
Know what it's going to mean for me. Everybody who's been to space says it changes them in some way, and I'm just really excited to figure out how it's going to change me. People say they see the thin limb of the Earth's atmosphere. It teaches them how fragile and precious the planet is, how there are no boundaries. I don't know what it's going to do, but I'm excited to find out.
Imagine he comes back all hairy, like Geico caveman.
Or if he comes back stupid.
Right.
Yeah, but then, yeah, boop, boop.
What's Amazon?
Is that him selling pencils and gum?
Nope, boopy, nope, boop.
Boop, boop. Am I the only one that didn't know that's what his voice sounded like?
Yeah.
If I had just heard that, I would have been like, I have no idea who that is talking.
Yeah. How space is going to change him.
Yep.
You'll be in space for like 8 seconds, okay? Right. You're just like...
Yeah,
right. How will it change you?
Won't it's like driving seconds. Through a small town.
Right.
All right, there's downtown, and now we're out.
All right.
Cool.
If you blink, you miss it. Yep.
Yeah. Bezos is looking forward to space travel being more commonplace.
Well, what we're hoping to do is to build the road to space so that future generations will be able to do amazing things in space if we have practice and get good at reusable vehicles. So the big thing that Blue Origin is doing is making these vehicles reusable and in an operable way so they can be flown over and over and over, more like commercial airliners.
In other words, he wants to make more money.
You know, the difference, though, with commercial airliners is they have a place to go.
Yes.
Right? You're going to California, to New York, to see people, do business.
Right. Now, oh, look.
Go somewhere else.
Look how high we are. Okay, bye.
Right.
There's a destination.
Look, my cup is floating in front of me. Right. Okay, and we're back.
10 minutes of space, $28 million. Totally worth it.
Yeah. All right, let's bring on Nick, the science guy from the Connecticut Science Center. What do you think about this? You excited?
Oh, absolutely. I'm thrilled.
I can tell in your voice.
Yeah,
but he's always
for sure.
Excited about science.
Let me check this out. Oh, yeah, I love space. I love seeing all the advances that people have made in space. It's important to remember, it seems kind of anticlimactic, right? The flight lasts 11 minutes, so it's not exactly like a really long trip. I like to see this sort of like a Wright Brothers moment, sort of where we're like in the early era of space flight travel. Now, of course, we've been in space for
1961.
For decades, yeah, we've been in space for decades. That was all like a government enterprise. This is finally like commercial businesses taking the reins here and starting to do amazing things.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's interesting. However, it's more impressive when the government, who very rarely gets it right, can get someone out into space and then bring them back safely. To me, that was impressive.
One piece,
and in 1961, when you think about what we had for technology.
Yeah.
Like a computer the size of a laptop now was a building.
Yeah.
With those reels and the lights.
Oh, yeah.
Beep, boop, beep,
yeah.
Boop, boop,
exactly
boop.
Right. Slide rules out trying to figure out trajectories.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bezos is probably running this thing with his cell phone.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Or a microchip.
Yeah, this thing is, it's totally autonomous. There's like no pilot. There's the four passengers and then just computers run the whole thing.
There's no pilot.
What if something goes wrong?
Well, they can still communicate with the rocket. It's just they're not doing it.
And what do I help?
No, because if you look at these people, they're not astronauts.
No, they're not.
They haven't done space training. They haven't. Well, one, the 82-year-old lady.
Yeah.
I mean, I think she's in charge.
That's it. That's it. The other three go on a Peloton every now and then.
One is an 18-year-old high school graduate, which is pretty amazing. Yeah,
right.
He's clearly not like a super experienced.
They call him Wonder Boy.
Right, he'd be the second officer.
Right.
You know, if things went, AJ poses a great question. If this thing disconnects from its, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know how you lose the internet signal?
Yeah, if it goes
signal?
Haywire, yeah, right.
If you lose your internet, if the rocket loses its internet signal.
Yeah, if the Wi-Fi don't work.
All right, someone has to take control.
Right, oh, it's going to keep on going into space. and they'll eat Wonder Boy. That's why they brought him along. He's food. Something goes wrong.
The Fantastic
wrong,
Four. Is he with like the Human Torch? I guess.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, they are the Fantastic Four.
I wonder if they figure that one out. Like, how does that work? They're not going far enough out where if they get disconnected, they can't. They'll probably pull. Hey, pull this.
Right. They'll just pull the cord.
And come right back.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's the capsule that ejects. So they've tested this. This is not the first time this thing is flying. It's I think the 15th or 16th flight of this.
Successful.
And the kinds of things that aeronautical engineers have to do to ensure safety is crazy. There's all kinds of backup systems. I'm sure they've worked out all kinds of contingencies if they lose connection or anything like that. But the way it's supposed to work is the capsule shoots off and then parachutes deploy and safely bring the capsule back down to Earth.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm all for this. I love space like you, Nick. And what irked me a little bit was when Bezos and his crew showed up in Texas with the cowboy hats.
Oh, yeah. Like the right stuff.
I'm like, are the furthest thing from a space cowboy. Space cowboys were the guys and women who trained but never got out there in the 60s.
Yeah.
Who, like, they're, you know, some of them died on the launch pad. That's a space. That's like you're in the wild west of space. This is not the wild west. You should have a tuxedo on. You're James Bond, okay?
Right. You're right. I have enormous respect for the trailblazers that made all this possible way back in the 60s. To be honest, though, the way I see it is that, like, this is kind of how it should be. Like, amateurs should be able to go into space. I mean, I think gone are the days where you have to be, like, a grizzled military pilot to be an astronaut. Like, it should be like airliners in the sense that any old person can just buy a ticket and go up into space. Now, about the cowboy hats, that's a bit much.
He just didn't want to get sunburned on that head of his.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah, but then you get the word suntan, the top of your head's white.
Yeah.
I guess when in Texas, do as the Texans do, I suppose.
What's interesting about this is we can get four people who know nothing about space flight into space. The rocket will go up and come back down on its own, exactly where it was supposed to land, on a pad.
Right.
Exactly. Like, there are probably little X's where the little legs go.
Look, right there.
Boom, right on there.
Yep. Right.
But we can't get a car to drive itself.
Good point.
Why are we not having these cars? You know,
autonomous cars, or at least a feature in your car. I'm too drunk, autonomous.
Now, every now and then, I do see a Tesla drive by, and the driver's not driving.
No.
They got both arms stretched up over their heads. Yeah. Like, what is happening?
There's videos on the internet of people sleeping.
Are you trimming your armpits?
Autonomous driving is, I forget who quoted this, but like it is like the hardest engineering problem we've like ever tackled. It's incredibly difficult to create a car that drives by itself. The amount of information that has to be processed in order to for a computer to make all these decisions on the fly. Not that rocket flight is easy either.
Yeah, but you run into less crap going difficult. To space.
Yeah, there's no traffic on the way up
there's
there.
There's no idiot in front of you.
Yeah, there's no one braking quickly in front of you.
Right.
There's no, we forgot to tell you that this bridge is out or road under construction.
Right. You'll find out when your hat floats.
Mm-hmm. how many times do you have dumbass news? There's a GPS story. Someone followed their GPS onto a golf course.
Right. Make a left off a bridge. Yep.
That's interesting that it's the most difficult engineering problem we've ever faced. They have to start putting chips on the road or something, right?
It's part of it's definitely got to be the road.
Yeah. Or slots like the old AFX cars.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of different ways. That. Like, it. I mean, there's lots of different solutions to the autonomous driving problem. Like, China is going the route that, like, you have, like, they're thinking about just having all along the roads sensors are basically feeding the information to the cars rather than the cars collecting the information on their own.
Yes.
So that's very, like, you know, capital intensive, but that's kind of like, you know, China's MO is have these gigantic infrastructure projects that that we probably wouldn't have the political capital to pull off.
Well, no, because they pay everyone 8 cents an hour over there.
and that's the big money.
Yeah. That's great. There's a company over in China that's like the Amazon of China. right?
Right. They call them Amazon.
Someone told me to invest in that.
Oh, yeah. They've got, I mean, it's crazy. The China's economy is just crazy huge, and there's all these mega companies that, you know, are comparable in size with a lot of big-name brands in the United States, but we don't really hear about them as much, that do kind of similar things. I mean, there's Alibaba. There's a lot of electric car companies that are, you know, competing with Tesla, and that's a huge market because electric car adoption in China is much stronger over there. So yeah, they're definitely doing well for themselves. I mean, even labor costs are going up. People gone are the days where there's like China laborers who make 8 cents an hour. Now they're
up to a buck.
Yeah, they're up to a buck. Yeah, it's the big time.
Making fat money now.
Yeah, well, they will take a lot of our stuff and reverse engineer it and say, hey, look what we came up with. Well, no, we had that for 10 years.
That was ours.
Wait a second.
You took out all the good stuff, made it plastic, and sold it for cheaper.
A lawnmower, no motor on it.
Nick, the science guy from Connecticut Science Center, is on. We're talking about the Bezos flight today. Is there any one part of this that you're most interested in?
Well, the whole flight is so short that, you know, I'm going to watch the whole thing. Yeah. No problem. Just 11 minutes. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to I'm presuming that on the live webcast, which you can check out, it starts at 7:30, blueorigin.com. They're going to be casting the whole thing. And I'm presuming that they're going to have views from inside their space capsule. So what we should be able to see is the view from inside.
Do they have a Ring camera outside the capsule door?
That would be great.
They do.
They really should.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I mean, rocket launches nowadays, are, especially by the commercial companies, are all streamed. I like to watch the SpaceX launches, and they have a cool camera looking down from the rocket engine. You can see it just blasting off the surface of the Earth. You get the view from space. I still haven't gotten over it. I must have seen, like, I don't know, 30 rocket launches, and it never gets old. It's just beautiful.
I feel the same way. Yeah, even though this is kind of like, we're going to kind of just stick our toe in the water here this one.
Yeah.
It is really cool.
I don't think that's a toe would shape like.
There's a countdown on the Blue Origin website that Nick mentioned to 7:30. So right now it's 14:34. 33, 32, so.
So on and so what do you mean? The clock keeps going down?
Well, it's real now. Like, there's a countdown.
It's a final
Don't you
countdown.
Feel like the tension in the air? There's a countdown.
I'm looking forward to see what celebrities are going to go up into space next. There's all kinds of rumors that, like, Justin Bieber has a ticket. Right. And
it should be Europe.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yep.
All right.
Tom Hanks, only something's going to go wrong.
Oh, yeah. I'd be worried. Every movie he's ever been in about real events.
Right. Never travel with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
He's always shipwrecked or moonwrecked or whatever.
Yeah, that is.
Moonwrecked.
Don't ever go with him anywhere.
Yeah.
You drive.
Yes, I agree with you there.
All right, we might check in with you tomorrow to get your thoughts on this.
Oh, sure. Anytime. Love chatting space.
All right. Very exciting. Anything going on at the Science Center?
Just a reminder that we are open 7 days a week this summer. We're booking up so much. It's really crowded at the Science Center, which is great. So make sure to get your ticket in advance. Our theater's now open. Obviously, there's movies playing in our theater, but also live shows. There's a wildlife show that features a real live wallaby, which is kind of cool. So check out ctsciencecenter.org to figure out the times.
One quick thing here. Blue Origin's going like another 15 miles into space. Do you think that matters, with the Virgin Galactic?
Virgin Galactic, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
is that a deal?
It's sort of overrated, like, 50 versus 62. I mean, the space isn't just like a hard boundary where it's like, oh, this is the sky and now this is space. It's a gradual... It's the atmosphere gradually kind of fading. And so there's
it's
not
like
a
walking
really
into
huge
the
difference.
Ocean. You're taking five steps and you're in the ocean.
Right, the deep end.
Yeah, that's not the case. It's a gradient. You know, you're slowly going into space. The air is getting thinner and thinner and thinner. It's not a sudden drop. So there's, you know, not a lot of stock about saying that, like, oh, we're at this official line and you're at that official line. It's all, in my mind, basically space.
Yeah, once you're weightless, you're in space.
Yeah, both of those flights will give you the experience of weightlessness.
Jack Sonne, former guitarist with Dire Straits and so many others, on the show now, and he lists Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young as one of his favorite top five concerts. Hey.
Morning.
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 How are y'all?
Good. So Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young in 1969?
Oh, yeah. Yep. That was my first concert.
Oh. Really?
First concert. Yep.
That's a biggie.
And it was right after they had done Woodstock, and Neil Young, you know, had come on board. Dallas Taylor on drums, I believe. It was Greg Reeves on bass. It was just incredible because they came out and did like an acoustic set first, and you know they had just this semicircle of all these different acoustic guitars for their different tunings and 12 strings, and as a 17-year-old kid looking at it, and they were great. They were just flat out great, the harmonies and everything. And then they took a break and came out and did like an hour and a half of electric stuff, jamming away. And I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do. That'll work.
Really? Did you play guitar before you went to that concert?
Yeah, I had been playing for a couple of years at that point. And, you know, the funny part about it, at least to me, and I look back on this, my first concert was supposed to be Led Zeppelin. I had tickets to go see Led Zeppelin that earlier that year, and there was a little problem at school, and I wasn't able to go.
Oops. Problem at school.
Like
you were disciplined, and right. Mom and Dad say,
No, I don't think that's what's going to happen. So, yeah.
Oops.
And I keep thinking, like, how different my music direction and, you know, influences and all that might have been if I had seen Zeppelin versus seeing Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. You know, I knew the music, but it really turned me on to the, you know, some more acoustic and folk harmony stuff that really, you know, was part of my thing.
What year did Dylan do that Newport Jazz Festival deal where he came out acoustic? I'm sorry, Folk Fest. It was doing acoustic, and then he switched over to electric and got booed. Was that 67?
Yeah. I was going to say 67, yeah, I think. Yeah. And, there, you know, that story, if you've ever really...
65? 65?
Oh, 65, really?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. You know, it's funny. I was not a Dylan fan. Even though Jimi Hendrix was, like, all about Bob Dylan, was like, I don't get it. I don't get it. It took me years. I mean, I'm still trying to get it. But,
so back to Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Did you ever meet any of them or play with any of them?
I have not.
Yet.
I have not. Huh. Yeah.
Let me go through the other acts here on the Farm Aid. How about Willie Nelson?
No. I would love to hang with Willie.
Oh, I know.
A lot of folks would.
What about John Mellencamp?
The closest I ever got to John Mellencamp was having cocktails with his former girlfriend Meg Ryan once.
That's fun.
Was she former girlfriend then or not girlfriend yet? Oh, really?
No, she was former girlfriend then. It wasn't actually too long ago.
I was going to say, that was like yesterday.
Did she tell you stories?
No, she...
what were you guys doing together?
She was on Martha's Vineyard while I was up there hanging out. And I was in my favorite restaurant one night hanging at the bar, and she was sitting at a table with some mutual friends. So I...
You're such a smooth talker.
You said, you've got mail.
I sent over a round of cocktails and ended up kind of getting waved over to the table and hung out for a little bit.
Wow.
All right, Jack.
And there you are. So the other mutual friends, anyone we would know?
No, it's a funny, even though there's obviously a lot of, well-known musicians that live on the vineyard, James T. Taylor and the Taylor family and Carly Simon and that family. And there's tons of others. But Jerry Marotta and his brother Rick, the drummers. Let me think.
So wait, you go over to Meg Ryan. So you send drinks and then someone waves you over or you walk by or whatever.
Yeah,
and the next thing you know, you're sitting there and it's you, Meg Ryan, and how many other people?
There was I think there was six at their table.
All right, so what?
Her,
was she with a with a guy?
No, no, she was not.
Well, that's why I went over.
And are you
exactly.
Are you single or you're not single
at that time? Yeah, oh yeah, for sure, I'm single.
Excellent. So what do you talk about,
John?
No, I didn't bring up John.
No.
I didn't know.
You can't bring up
how that. Yeah, that would not be smooth. We talked about what she was doing on the vineyard, where she was staying, what she was up to, and was pretty much hanging out for vacation, and she had been coming there on and off
small
for a
talk.
While. And
right.
Yeah, there small was nothing. Talk. And the whole time, and this may sound it's going to sound how it sounds. You know, there had been all this talk about. In photos of her having had some surgery done, cosmetic surgery done, and that she had, quote, ruined her looks and all that stuff. That was not the case while I was sitting there. I don't know.
And did you say that?
He said, boy, the surgery looks great.
No.
Oh, really? Your face at all.
She does look a little different.
If we ever get to the Lady Diana story, you'll find that there are times when my mouth works faster than my brain in those situations.
Well, you wouldn't have to say, you look way better than these headlines are making you out. But you could say, you look beautiful, right? Just in person right now. Right. I've seen you in so many movies, and you're so beautiful.
Yeah, I was like, I
see, I needed you as my wingman.
Right.
Now, it wouldn't come out like that.
No.
I did that with my wife when I met her. I just said it I meant to say that, but I was like, "Tampa, nah."
Oh, okay.
exactly.
But she read the subtitles. You're good.
Pretty.
Go pretty, me, Bob.
You're pretty.
Beer. Yeah. We're just talking about Neil Young coming with Farm Aid to Connecticut. It was just announced today. Tickets on sale Friday. So it's Willie Nelson, Neil Young, John Mellencamp, Dave Matthews, and so many more. Tickets on sale this Friday, and they're playing September 25th at Xfinity. And you said you saw Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young at Pittsburgh Civic Arena December 11, 1969. It was your first concert.
Go ahead if you got a question, but I just remembered a quick Neil Young story that I did kind of bump into him once.
Oh, great.
So we were in. While we were in Montserrat recording the album, hanging out one day in the control room working on some stuff, and one of the assistant engineers comes in and says, "Hey, would you guys mind? Neil Young is touring the studio. Would you mind if he stuck his head in and check some things out?" This is another one of those. I had just stepped into Oz, right? Went from working in the guitar shop to suddenly hanging out with stars and meeting George Martin there and everything. So Neil Young wanders in, and I'm just kind of going, "Holy shit, it's Neil Young!"
Right.
And can't say that.
I have a dump button for that.
I've heard Holy before.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it turns out that he was cruising around the Caribbean in his sailboat, as one does, and he, wanted to check out the studio. Stopped and came in and was asking about the digital recording. Machine that we were using because it was one of the first around, and he just had a cut off flannel shirt with his sleeves cut off and board shorts, and it was like Neil Young. And then he said hey, and then he was gone. So that's the quick story, but it was just very surreal for me to be sitting in this place, and suddenly the door opens up and there's one of my early heroes from, my childhood.
A guy you saw at the first concert you ever went to.
Look like a castaway, yes.
Neil?
Yep.
Phil did some fact-checking on this show that you saw.
Yeah, so this this show in December of 1969 at the Pittsburgh Civic Arena was the first show that they performed immediately following the Altamont incident. The Altamont Free Festival incident of 1969 was December 6th. Their first show right after that was this show that you were at.
What happened at that other show?
I didn't even realize that. But that was, now that you mention it.
Yeah, the infamous hiring the Hell's Angels to try to be crowd control.
And the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't realize that. But you know, now that I think about the date, obviously, that would have been it. And I think there's when you see Gimme Shelter, the movie, I'm pretty sure there's some, you know, some scenes with Crosby and Stills, at least, I think, arriving.
There's really a tough scene where that kid gets killed.
Oh, man.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. And, you know, now, you know, seeing it not too long ago that, you know, I rewatched it, and it's like, you know what's coming now.
Yeah.
You know, at the first point, you're kind of like, oh, maybe not. But then you see it, it's just like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, again.
Thank you.
All right.
Put Jack Potty Mouth in a second. Mr. Potty Mouth.
Yeah, that's not the worst of it, believe me.
No, it's got to be weird, though, that you know, you grow up, you go to Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young as your first concert, the Rolling Stones movie, and then you're on stage with the Rolling Stones, and Neil Young's poking his head in. And
it's almost like Forrest Gump-like.
Yeah, you're on stage before Queen at Live Aid, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, wandering around Live Aid backstage, it was just like some weird dream. You know what that was?
You know, Queen? Those paintings they have of like Elvis, Marilyn Monroe, Marlon Brando.
Right.
You know, like at the diner.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what that was, but real life.
Right. The Boulevard of Broken Dreams, but better.
Okay. Jack Sonny's on. And boy, the first time he came on, we thought, oh, we got to get this Princess Diana story.
Had to. That was a year and a half ago.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it today.
Yes! Finally!
Okay. So, you know, speaking of Live Aid, at the beginning of July, the first 2 weeks of July of that year, 85, Straits had a run of dates at Wembley Arena, which is in the same complex as Wembley Stadium. It's literally across the parking lot. And we had 14 shows. They were all sold out. And the arena is about the size of, I don't know what it's called these days, Hartford Civic Center. Is that the Xfinity thing?
Hartford Civic Center is a good comparison.
And
but think about that. 14 shows sold out.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
14.
Yeah.
That's a lot of shows sold out.
And at the time, it was known that Straits was Princess Diana's favorite band. And it had been in the papers and all that kind of stuff. And one of the shows that we were doing at the arena was a Prince's Trust charity event. And this was Prince Charles' charity for music education and other things. And so it was going to be a command performance where they were going to show up and to watch the band play. And that was the night that Pete Townsend was coming to play with us. And I was more excited about hanging out with Pete Townsend and playing with him, another one of my childhood heroes, if not one of the top childhood heroes. And he and I were hanging out. I think I told the story about him, me coming in a sound check, and he was playing he was on the pinball machine that we had in the dressing room.
Of course he was.
Right. He's pinball wizard.
Bizarre. So before the show, there was this introduction to presentation the band was going to be presented to Lady Diana and Princess Charles. And there's a whole protocol. I happened to be out of the room when the protocol officer came in and educated the band on how to behave when they were presented to the
no
royal
cat calls,
couple.
No whistling.
Hey. Yeah, right. Exactly. And so I come back in the room and we're lined up and I'm standing next to Pete Townsend, and Pete leans over to me and he said, "Did you get the instructions?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Oh, well, you know, You call when you meet Diana, you meet the princess, you don't shake her hand. You refer to her as Marm, and which is kind of some British thing of ma'am, whatever.
Marm?
I'm like, okay. And he said, you know, and then Prince Charles, shake his hand, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, Pete, I'm an American. I really don't care too much about this stuff. and he's, you know, he rolls his eyes and he's thinking, oh, man, this kid's going to say something stupid and blow my chance at an MBE. So, you know, they come in the room and the band is lined up. And I'm one of the last. Well, Pete's the last.
How does she look?
She looks amazing.
Yeah.
She was really beautiful. I mean, stunning. And she comes down the row. And the first thing she does is sticks her hand out to shake my hand. So I look over at Townsend and go, okay, what's this? You know, give him the eyebrow.
Right.
And I guess she had been told that I was the American in the band and, you know, you shake his hand.
It was cool, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Awesome.
Yeah, nice.
So
when you shook her hand, did you do that thing with the finger in her palm?
No.
right. Or crush it?
No, I didn't, but I held on. I held on to her hand.
Yes.
I held on to her hand while she asked me, she says, I hear you're the American in the band. And I said, yes. Yes, Marm. And she said, you've been on the road for a long time.
Uh-oh.
And I said, yes. And she said,
do you need anything?
Right.
Are you lonely?
She said, where are you going after this? And I said, back to my hotel room. What are you doing?
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And the look on her face, you can tell that she, you know, it was like a Warner Brothers cartoon. Her eyeballs were just like going, pinballing back and forth. And you could tell that she had not been, you know, coached or programmed to how to deal with any of that kind of question.
Yeah, how to respond
in that situation.
Right.
And I was just smiling at her, you know, I was just goofing.
Yeah.
You're being a rock guy. Just,
exactly.
Right. Exactly.
That's how you roll.
You're being that kid in the class in the back of the room.
Right. I'll be disciplined. Exactly. Naughty, naughty.
The wise-ass musician.
Right.
Yeah. You don't get to go see Led Zeppelin, young man. So she pulls her hand away and moves down to talk to Pete.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how to answer this one.
And Charles, for the whole thing, those big ears of his.
Well, and then Charles comes, you know, down the line, and he basically kind of the same thing, shakes my hand, says, you know, you're American.
Is he tall or short? How tall is he?
He was tall, and he, you know, I know that, yes, he had large ears, but, you know, he was a really good-looking man. And his presence.
That's weird. He doesn't look it in pictures.
I know. Yeah,
definitely not.
He doesn't photograph well.
I know. And that was kind of the surprise to me. I expected this real cartoonish-looking guy.
Yeah,
it's like a Mr. Potato Head, and they put all the wrong.
Yep,
right. You know, the nose is too big. The ears too big. Yeah. Yep, yep.
Yeah, but he had such a commanding presence and charisma. It was.
But he has a lot of practice. From the time he's a baby, they put him in a friggin' beef eater suit or whatever.
Teach him stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, he's taught to be that guy.
Yeah.
Charming and all that. Well. The interesting part to me was the guys in the band were lined up, and then lined up along the opposite wall were wives and girlfriends. And Diana, you know, had made her rounds while Charles was coming down. And then Prince Charles went over and was like introducing himself to the ladies. And he was standing, I looked over at one point, he was standing in the middle of the group. And that phrase, hanging on every word, these women were just starry-eyed, and if he had taken one step back, they all would have fallen on their faces.
Really?
They were just, like, leaning in. It was kind of impressive.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Because, who knew?
Like we say.
You're like, damn, I got the guitar to get women.
Right.
I should have just been a prince.
Son of a bitch.
It's like the JFK Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Everywhere you go.
Yep.
You just say, you want to do it? Yes.
Sure.
Okay.
Right.
Only known you for 3 seconds, but great.
This one's
dead. Actually attractive.
This one's dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
So that's the, well, and then a couple mornings later for Live Aid, you know, we were all lined up again for another presentation. I think I told you guys, it was all the bands that were playing Wembley that day for Live Aid, all lined up in the order that they were, that we were going to perform. So there's,
you're right next to Queen.
Right. 40. I stood right next to Brian May and David Bowie's and Elton John are to my left. And
God.
No handshake. Came down. No handshake this time, right?
Yeah. She came down and kind of looked at me and I smiled and I said, good to see you again.
How you doing?
She just smiled and kept going.
Yeah, right. Going back to the hotel if you're interested. Right. Offer stands.
I know what you mean. I know what you did.
Room 416. Room 416.
You hand her a key. You shake her hand.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Slip a key in her hand.
Right? What's
hand
this?
Slipped her the key. Right. That would have been the funniest thing, right?
But
so there's there's the Lady Diana story.
Yeah, so you've met nice. Jack Sonny, guitarist, Dire Straits, and Stones, and Clapton. He's played with everybody.
Gigolo.
yes. But how did that... Hey, so that has a different effect on you when you pick up a newspaper on Sunday morning and see that she was killed in a car accident.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just...
Not to harsh the buzz, but I'm just saying the whole world was sad. We didn't even know her, but you met her, so it's a different connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, in a very, you know, different but similar way was, you know, when I was at a friend's house having coffee in the morning and the radio was on and heard the news about Stevie Ray.
Yeah.
And I had spent time, Stevie opened for us for a bunch of shows in Canada.
All right, hold on.
Seen him.
That's going to be where we start next time you're on.
Right.
You got it.
With Stevie Ray.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Dire Straits Legacy is still planning on coming to Mohegan Sun.
Awesome.
In
great.
September. We'll let you know if that happens for sure.
We're looking at Friday, September 3rd. Does that sound right to you?
Yes. That's
I do have that in my calendar, too.
Nice.
I was just looking at
all
it the other day.
Hang out, make some stories.
Very good.
Yeah, hope. That'd
well,
be great.
We'll be talking to you all the way up to that. Thank you, Jack. Right now, another big day.
Separate, and that's when the fasten seatbelt.
Oh, it's this guy.
More the Martian again.
A new name on a new night.
Thank you. Is there AJ? Will you flip it too?
Borgin blasting off out of Texas. And that they'll have Jeff Bezos, his brother Mark, an 82-year-old hero woman who was in the space program in the 60s. It was women in space, and then they scrapped the program before she got out into space. So he's making good on that one.
Yep, Wally Funk.
And then an 18-year-old kid whose dad is really rich and paid $28 million for him to be on the flight.
Right. Might as well dotting the kid there.
They're billing this, like if you go to this website and you didn't know anything, you just woke up, you're here on Earth, and you take a look at this website, you would believe this is the first time we're putting a human into space.
Seriously. And I'm sorry, but they guys.
So I can't wait until Amazon, like, they start erasing all of this Apollo stuff from websites. Like, this is the first human flight into space.
Please.
Wow.
And they got to find a better designed rocket, man. I'm sorry, I can't look at that thing seriously.
It really does look like a giant wiener.
It does. Or,
I like it.
Or the spaceship from Josie and the Pussycats.
I don't remember that.
Almost the same look. I'm going,
really?
Where have I seen this before? Like, Josie and the Pussycats in outer space. They had almost the same looking rocket.
Oh, no, I got to look.
All we need now is the music, the theme song from Josie and the Pussycats in outer space.
Oh, yeah. It is pretty similar.
Thank you.
Are they all wearing little cat ears in the space shuttle this morning?
Where's Sebastian the cat and who was the there was Alexander was the guy who was always screwing things up. And then they had the blonde haired guy.
Oh my God! It's exactly the same.
It's
design.
It's crazy. Yeah,
Josie and the Pussycats.
It's
oh my
the
God.
Same thing.
Oh my God! Are they gonna play like rock music? Is they doing it too? I bet you the kids on
how
tambourine.
Has no one taken the picture of this thing on about to launch? There's a picture of the Josie and the Pussycat spaceship about to launch, and put that right next to the Blue Origin, New Shepard rocket.
Right, who award better?
It's the same picture.
Do a side by side.
Wow.
Josie and the Pussycat. Oh, my God.
Very similar.
Somebody went into that room and said, boss, I have the design of the rocket.
Right. Where have I seen this before? No place. This is brand new, sir.
No,
new.
I came up with this myself.
I know it looks like a giant penis, but it's actually Josie. No, it's not Josie Pussycat. No. It's their rocket. They used a cartoon to design the rocket.
That is exactly the same rocket.
Oh, my God. Which doesn't say much for Josie and the Pussycats. They're flying in a giant, you know.
No, but they came up with this
in the 70s.
In the 70s, right?
Yeah, 70s.
It's the same thing.
Wow. AJ, it is identical.
I'm just sitting there going, where have I seen this before?
Is there a name to the Josie? So the episode's called Josie and the Pussycats in Outer Space.
Yeah.
Is it only one episode?
No, it's a series.
Really?
Yeah, there's series. They eventually, Josie and the Pussycats, they jumped the shark and went into outer space. And they had outer space adventures where they play like music for like all kinds of like different planet people.
Oh, there are a lot of there are 16 episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a couple seasons.
Warrior Women of Amazonia.
Right. And it was always Sebastian the Cat or Alexander, the guys in trouble, or Alexandra, his sister with had the white streak in her hair. I don't know why.
Why did you watch this?
I don't know, because I was a kid and anything was on.
You only had three channels.
I just needed a cartoon, basically, yeah.
Anything you can do.
I had a crush on Melody. That
was Space Pirates.
A little blonde one there, yeah.
The Mini-Man Menace. The Sun Haters.
Oh, they had Bleep Bleep. That's right.
Bleep Bleep.
They had a character. Bleep 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 Bleep.
His name was actually Bleep.
That was their space creature, their little bleep bleep. I know they always have problems.
It wasn't fluffy, but it was between
Bleep Bleep and then the cat, Sebastian, would always get in some kind of trouble, and they'd wander off, and then they'd go find them, and something would happen.
Phil, can you look up and see if there's a name to the spaceship?
I'm reading this whole Wikipedia entry on this whole show, and I don't see it yet, but I'm still looking.
Right.
There has to be a name for it.
Right. The Pussycat.
Wow. We're at the 5-minute countdown, by the way.
Right.
Are we really at 5 minutes?
We should play the Josie and the Pussycats in outer space theme while they take off.
They're going to probably have some.
Josie and the Pussycats. There has to be an episode, an initial episode where they took off. They just all of a sudden end up in space.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember back that far. I mean, I'm surprised I remember this part. But someone was bugging me. I'm like, this rocket, I've seen it someplace before.
You are right. That is exactly the same rocket.
Leave it to me to throw some shine on a
They
on
made
a
it a little bit more aerodynamic, right. The capsule.
Right, a little more. Not much, though.
No.
Not much.
Not no. much, though, no.
The rocket is going to go into some last-minute checks on the vehicle. At T-minus 2 minutes is when the vehicle... We throw the show over to her.
It's an autonomous vehicle.
But Gary, do you want to talk to us about what are some of those last minute checks that the vehicle is going through and that we're going to see especially on our screen?
Right. So as you mentioned, the last 2 minutes are auto sequence, and that is executed.
I don't trust the guy who has something stuck in his throat.
You have to have somebody that sounds like that, right?
Yeah, he sounds like the guy from Sesame Street.
There will be things that you don't see, such as sensor checks, pressure checks on the tanks, radio checks, all hundreds and hundreds of different checks will be stepped through in this checklist. But what you will see...
Boy, that's really informative. Hundreds and hundreds of checks. Thank you.
Did he swallow a lifesaver and shut up his throat?
They're not only wiggling those surfaces, but they're making sure that there's no stiction and they travel smoothly.
Stiction?
They're wiggling the surfaces? This sounds really
Is that a metaphor
scientific.
I caught them wiggling the surfaces again.
Those last-minute checks, but we certainly get to see the aft fins. As Gary mentioned, those are the fins at the base of the vehicle. There are four of those. Obviously, they help direct the rocket both up and down. Yeah. And
3 minutes.
I was really impressed with all of this until I hear these two people talk. Yeah. These are the two best people they can get to go through this.
This dumbs it down, yeah.
Now I'm thinking this might be worth watching. Something could happen. If these are the two smartest people they got to do the commentating,
and
also I feel like an hour ago they were talking all the technical jargon. Now they know the normies are tuning in just to watch this rocket take off.
We got to use the regular words. What are some of the checks they're going to be doing in the last 2 minutes?
Hundreds and hundreds of checks wiggling outer surfaces.
The rocket will go near and then far.
Soft landing.
All right, so in 20 seconds, this is done. They're going to go. They can't stop it.
The rocket's moving forward.
Successful flights on again. We're looking forward to
another 10 seconds, and they're into this. We're going in 2 minutes. Final check.
Three, two minutes. There we go.
Bridge is retracting.
The bridge is retracting.
Is it cold out?
Oliver on the left, Jeff Bezos on the right.
Oh, boy.
We are about to go to space, everybody.
No, they are. I'll be over here.
We are in auto sequence.
That voice bothers me.
They're lighting the bottle rockets.
Yeah, something's smoking.
Right. They got a cue with a lighter.
I'll tell you one thing about this rocket is it moves a lot faster than a space shuttle or an Apollo rocket. This thing blasts off like a missile.
Uh-oh.
We're watching the Blue Origin blast off.
Right, when that engine gimbal check occurs and that engine swings, they should actually be able to feel it in the cabin because it's way the stack back.
Wow, thanks for that info. I would have never figured that one out.
I had no idea. Here.
Some of these shots, this rocket looks very well used already.
It looks dirty.
Engine gimbal check peeking out at the base of the rocket.
Oh my god, under 1 minute.
I'm getting butterflies in my stomach. Where's Josie the pussycat?
It has a number 4 on one of its tail fins.
All right, here we go, everybody. Thousands of people contributed years to this historic moment. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Blue Origin's first human flight. Godspeed, first crew of New Shepard. Let's light this candle.
Wow. Oh, please.
She had that written down a day ago.
Oh, yeah. Candle.
Apollo crews have used that.
I wonder where it says that.
T-minus 16, guidance internal.
All right, Josie, get up there.
T-minus 10.
Here goes my 9, Amazon stock.
8, up. 7, up. 6, 5, 4, command engine start. 2, 1. Ignition. We have lift off. The Shepard cleared the tower.
And New Shepard has cleared the tower on our way to space with our first human crew. Go, Jeff. Go, Mark. Go, Wally. Go, Oliver. You are going to space.
They're at 5,000 feet already.
Wow.
Traveling, and it keeps going faster. I'll tell you when they're at 400 miles an hour right now.
They're all plastered to the floor right now.
Yeah.
I can't move my feet.
Oh, my goodness. Listen to the roar of the BE-3 engine. We are just about to pass through max Q, maximum dynamic pressure. That is when the stresses on the vehicle are at their maximum.
Max Q.
They're approaching 600 miles an hour.
Wow.
Beautiful burn on that BE-3 engine.
Thank you.
600 miles an hour.
You noticed.
Liquid hydrogen.
Mach 1.
And
looks like someone threw a marital aid up in the air.
I was just going to say, it looks like the Dr. Evil ship.
It looks like, any bachelorette party gone wild.
It's steam, right?
But it's like going up and down.
It is.
It's like it's running out of fuel.
The glow of the engine underneath the rocket just under our shoulders and to know that we've got a crew that is going to
1,000 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
It just feels different, doesn't it, Gary?
It is totally different.
This doesn't look like it's a smooth flight.
At that point,
you can follow along, of course, the speedometer
in the bottom left, the altimeter in the middle of the screen there.
1,500 miles an hour.
So far, appears to be a nominal flight.
I tell you, that camera's working great. Still catching it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually a chase rocket chasing after them.
Should have a little Amazon thing
coming
over
up
on the
here
corner
on
when the expected
main
return will be.
Cut off. That will be followed shortly by separation. And at that point, after separation,
getting dizzy, watch this thing bounce back and forth.
Yeah, what is that?
Unbuckle and take in the freedoms of zero G. There is Miko, main
engine follow the bouncing
cutoff.
Ball, which we're singing along right now.
A beautiful shot.
She heard me.
Down the New Shepard rocket. Look at that view.
Yeah, so they're looking down at the planet Earth. Yes. You just saw cloud coverage.
Right.
Unreal.
That's something beautiful.
Yeah, we've never seen that before.
No, ever.
Awaiting separation here.
Up.
All right, so the mile per hour gauge is going down now.
Yep, they're slowing down. Well, they're going to a school zone. Gotta slow down. There's a cop.
It does.
Go zero G.
And here we are. You can start to see. Stand by. You're going to see the separation of the capsule from the booster itself.
Gain signal.
We're back down to almost 1,000 miles an hour.
Wow. Yeah, got to save some fuel now.
They have to slow down to separate. There's no way you can do that at 2,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah, well, they're coming down soon.
Wow, wow, wow.
Is that them?
Look out the window.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You never heard an Apollo astronaut go, woo.
Right, no. You're the kids on the phone.
And there we go. Our astronauts have passed the Kármán line at about 328,000 feet, continuing their ascent. You see the two vehicles there. When the speed hits zero, you know that they've hit apogee, their maximum altitude, and you hear they're having quite an experience.
Yeah, they're getting down to 0 miles an hour. So. Now it's going up again.
They must be falling now, coming back down then.
The only thing that could go wrong now is the parachute, right, for the capsule?
That would totally suck.
That would suck.
You're going to go from woohoo to uh-oh.
I thought you had the parachute.
Did someone say who wants a Skittle? They let a bunch of Skittles go in the
seriously
capsule?
That's
why,
cool.
Why should that jam something?
Right. It jams the parachute mechanism.
Right.
A Skittle took them out.
Damn Skittles!
Kind of surprised they have no onboard camera.
Yeah, why aren't we seeing that?
What
are they
going to
release that
warning
later?
Yeah.
1 minute warning.
1 minute warning.
Oh. Good day, Mr. Bond.
I expect you to die. That's what awesome.
Watching Blue Origin.
Right.
Jeff Bezos in space.
Luckily, it's B-L-U-E, not E-W.
I can see the moon. I can see it from here, too, jackass.
I can see my house from here.
I didn't spend $80 billion to get there.
Okay, get in. Beg pardon? What's going on there? Mile High Club or what?
Alright, I just want to make sure the parachute comes out before I break away here. It looks like it's out.
I don't know. Their speed is still accelerating, it looks like.
I don't want to break away then. Like, guess what we missed?
Right.
The headline.
Right.
Parachute didn't work.
First step, check. Astronaut Oliver.
Jeff Bezos now fits in an Amazon box.
Did they call Oliver an astronaut?
They called all of them astronauts before.
Oh.
Astronauts.
That looks like
Oliver,
it's...
Dennis Griffin.
All right. That looks like it's traveling a little fast for us. That capsule's coming down too fast.
I don't think that's it. I think that's they've separated. That's the base now returning automatically.
Oh, okay.
Copy. Astronaut demo.
All right. That makes sense.
Okay.
I don't really care about that part. I care about the part the humans are in.
Yeah.
Are they still on there? So it didn't separate yet. You know what this is like? This is like a really gigantic version of the slingshot rides.
Exactly. Or that rocket you have with the water pressure.
I think it did separate. I think that's just the base.
I don't know. I think I still see the top on it.
Yeah.
No.
Probably going to get to a certain area, then the top's going to come off, so they float down gently.
Why wouldn't they have the camera on where the humans are?
For our first human flight on New Shepard. So far, a nominal flight. Our booster is about to return to its landing pad.
Yes.
There we see engine relight.
Excuse me.
Wally.
This looks like something right out of a movie.
Yep.
This is pretty cool.
That's a strange love.
The rocket's blasting off, flames. It's coming down slowly. This looks like something out of a movie.
Wow.
That's badass.
Wow.
Good for them.
Booster touchdown. Welcome back, New Shepard.
Doesn't look good.
It's on fire.
It's on fire.
A beautiful flight to space.
Okay. Wow.
First up, your booster has landed.
You want to light your cigarette?
All right.
Yeah, there's a little.
All right,
top
that's
part.
The capsule.
Right.
And that looks fine.
And there it is, our crew capsule.
I dream of genie music right now.
Our four crew members
it
on
does
board.
Look like that.
Relaying
landed on an
island. All right, so it looks like it's a success.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.